Morning. It's good to see you guys. It's so good to be here worshiping with you this morning. We're going to take a reading from Psalm 145. When Stephen asked me if I wanted to teach today on Kids Baptism Sunday, to keep it into our Kingdom series, I was actually reading that day through my morning readings, which took me through Psalm 145. And immediately thought, this is such a beautiful text that both connects us into the New Testament idea of kingdom, can connect to our baptism, as well as just a beautiful text on kingdom. So we'll start with a reading first, and then we'll jump off from there. Starting in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. Amen. Well, I picked this text for a few different reasons, two different reasons, I suppose. The first is because in this psalm, it's a psalm of David, and keeping where Stephen has taken us so far, and especially last week with David's view of the kingdom, there's always the tendency or nationalistic tendencies within the Old Testament. Whenever they're talking about a kingdom, they think about themselves. They think about Israel. And that happens throughout all of the Old Testament. And yet, David seems to have a much bigger view of what the kingdom of God is, even beyond Israel. And we see it in this psalm. The second reason I wanted to go through this is because, this psalm does think bigger than just the nation of Israel. And because of that, it actually calls us to think about our New Testament mindset of what the kingdom of God is. So this is going to allow me to jump into what we're about to do today in our kids' baptisms, which is just so exciting. So let's get back to the first point where David is giving his view of God's kingdom. Now, this psalm is just like every other psalm in the sense that it follows a consistent poetic pattern. So this psalm is broken into four different sections, and the first section is actually verses 1 through verse 3. David here in these first verses is praising God for who he is. Right away we see that David, who is the king of Israel, is praising God for being the true king. He says, "I will extol you, my God and my king." David's first concern in praise is not about what God has done for him, but is actually about who God is. This is vital to understand what praise is meant to be in the kingdom of God. Now, this jumps right away into the second section and begins to overlap a little bit into what we read today. This second section goes from verse 4 to verse 9. And here it goes on to talk about the awesome wonders of God and how gracious God is. Not only is God the king, but he's also gracious to us, and he does amazing things in our midst. In this poetic structure, this section is actually meant to drive home the point of God's worthiness for praise. See, David is showing us the order of praise in God's kingdom. He's teaching us how to worship. I think David is the perfect person, someone who is described as someone after God's own heart. He's the perfect person to show us, what does it mean to worship? How are we supposed to praise God? So we see that God is worthy of praise no matter what he does. Just being God, being our king, he is worthy. And yet that isn't all that God is. He's not just this distant God who does nothing in our lives. He's worthy no matter what he does, so praise him no matter what your circumstances are, because he is God. But remember that his grace and his mercy, that his deeds constantly are breaking into your life. So is he worthy no matter how your life goes? Of course he is. But even even though that's true, he doesn't sit back and say, so just praise me. He jumps into your circumstances and says, look at all the glorious deeds I will do for you today. He comes to save you. And so again, we should praise him. The third section takes us from verse 10 through 12, which is part of our reading here today. And we see David once again call us to praise. Here we see David begin in a more intentional way to use kingdom language. He started the whole psalm by declaring that God is king, but now in this section he shows us what this king is like. So if we just focus on our readings today, we can see that God is gracious, that he's a merciful king, that he is slow to anger, that he's abounding in steadfast love. Our God is merciful to all that he has made. What is all that he's made? Everything. He is merciful to everything and everyone. David is revealing the bigness of God. He's not just only merciful if you do the right thing or if you say the right things, or if you give everything to him as you should. He is merciful to everyone because they are his creation, because they are inherently meant to be his. God is merciful. David's revealing that we should, in one of the very first understandings of who God is, we should think of him as a merciful king. Is that at the forefront of your mind? That every day when you interact with God, one of the first reactions you have is, man, are you merciful to me? Wow, are you gracious to me? Because David's revealing that's true praise, that's true kingdom worship. So far, David has taught us, up until verse 12, that the kingdom is a kingdom of worship and praise, but also one of grace and mercy. This brings us to the fourth section, which is the last verse of our reading, all the way through to the end, in verse 21. And in this section, it speaks of God's kingdom and how he gives caring attention to all of his creation. Now, what I want to do to kind of end our focus on Psalm 145 before we jump into some New Testament understandings is I just want to pull out some phrases from the rest of this text. We don't have time. I want to focus all of our attention on what's happening here today, so I want to be quick. So I'm just going to pull some phrases and let you think about what this text is saying to us. Psalm 145 tells us that the kingdom is everlasting. This means that at no time in human history has God's kingdom ever been defeated or dwarfed. It has never been slowed down, and it is always moving and growing. In God's kingdom, we see that the king, our God, is faithful to all of his words, that he is kind in all of his works. God, our king, holds those who are falling. Our king gives what we need in exactly the right time. Let me say that one again. Our king gives us what we need in exactly the right time. God, our king, satisfies every good desire. Not some, not partial, every good desire is satisfied by our God. In the kingdom, God is always near to those who call on him. He saves every person that cries out to him. Every person. Every person that cries out to him, he reaches out and saves. He protects and he preserves those who love him. And then verse 21 ends by revealing that all of this is available to all creation. So we have a choice to be a part of God's kingdom, to live under his rule and reign. Will we live under this loving, caring, gracious, kind, fulfilling, protecting, powerful, mysterious, and miraculous rule of our God and King. Guys, can you hear all of that? That's the kingdom you have said yes to. Will we say yes when we don't understand, or will we fight for our own way? Now, it's here I want to jump into the New Testament to kind of end on our dwelling on the Word today as we step into baptisms. I want to take us to John 3. And in John 3, right at the beginning, Jesus is having a discussion with a teacher of Israel named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus believes that he understands the fullness of the kingdom of God. Why? Because he spent his whole life understanding it. He teaches everyone else what it means to be in the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is. But Jesus reveals to him that there's something specific that he's missing. Jesus has come, and entrance into the kingdom is not through being born into the right family any longer. Jesus instead reiterates in his own way what Psalm 145 says to us. The kingdom is on offer to all creation, and it is by water and spirit that you may enter into it. So today, we're preparing to baptize children from our community. For some of you, these are your kids. For some of you, these are your best friend's kids. For some of us, we've watched these kids grow since they were babies. We knew them when they were in their mother's womb, literally. We are about to watch them enter through the gates of the kingdom by water and spirit and be assured that they are children of the kingdom, as Jesus says in John 3. And it's because of that we can be confident today that every child that enters the waters of baptism gets to walk in a kingdom that Psalm 145 declares. So today we celebrate this moment as they enter the waters of baptism, that these children have entered into an everlasting kingdom, one that will protect them, that will preserve them, where God will always be kind to them and he will always deal mercifully with them. Parents, today you can stand on Psalm 145 with your children. You can be assured that no matter what, no matter how they act with you, okay, let's hear that again, no matter how they act and respond to you, that God promises to save them when they cry out to him. God promises you and promises them that he will satisfy every good desire they have. God promises to come to them when they cry out, and he promises to hold them when they fall. This is God's promise to all of us today that have already gone through the waters of baptism and have entered the kingdom through water and spirit. It's the promise to every parent who has a child about to enter these waters, and it's a promise to these kids themselves. And beautifully and wonderfully, it's a promise to all of creation that will bow their knee to the King. Amen. Let's get on with the baptisms. Marcus.
Thanks, Rob. Welcome, church. How are you? All right, can I get an amen? How about a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Preach it. Come on. We need more of that. come on, Charlie. It is an honor and a blessing to be able to serve our church through serving our kids. And I don't know where my kids would be without the community of VIA who have come alongside my kids and loved and served and blessed my kids. And I'm just super thankful for all of you and all that you've done for us and our kids, and it's a blessing to be able to be here today and celebrate these young people who are making a decision for Christ. So I'm gonna do something really bad and just put my Bible down on the table here. So let's have all you guys come up, okay? These are our catechumens. All right, let's give them a round of applause. Like Stephen said, we put them through a grueling, 15-week process of catechism. We do 26 hours studying the Apostles' Creed, answering their questions, reading the Bible, making sure that today when they quote the Apostles' Creed, that they actually do believe what they're saying, and that they're prepared and ready to make the decision to get baptized. Getting baptized is not something that we take lightly. It's a serious decision, and it's a serious thing, and these kids have put many hours of thought and prayer and study into this, and so I'm excited to stand here with them today. We have one kid who has already been baptized, Ezekiel. He was baptized a few years ago, but he was too young to take the catechism class, so this year he took the catechism class, and how was it? Was it good? Yeah, it was really good? Or just kind of good? Really good. There you go. Give yourself a big pat on the back, Shane. sometimes we have kids that are too young to take the class to get baptized. We don't have any this year, but we have the rest of our kids who are getting baptized. Also want to thank all of our super awesome catechism teachers. We couldn't do this alone. Jep created the curriculum that we teach, and every year we have really great teachers that come in and teach the kids. I teach a few classes. Shane teaches some. This year we had Tyler Braun, who came and taught. We had Sherry Atkinson. We had Chelsea Rosner. And so we've been super blessed. As a little bit of a plug, if you're interested in teaching kids catechism, please speak to us. We're always looking for people who want to lead our kids spiritually. So then I'm going to pass it off to Shane.
So just like Marcus said, it was an absolute pleasure to walk with these guys. I don't think that there's anything more amazing or special than to walk with them as they choose to follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. It's always super fun working with kids, and when they ask questions and when you ask them questions, a lot of times you get answers that you aren't expecting, which is also fun because you get to walk with them and answer some of those questions and even just hear their heart behind it. And so I just want to just bless each one of you guys. It has been so fantastic walking with each one of you the last number of weeks, and you guys are all a pleasure. And I just also want to thank the parents. You guys are doing a fantastic job. You guys have fantastic kids, and we look forward to continuing to walk with them. So now what we're going to do is we're going to ask each one of them why they want to get baptized. All right, you guys ready? All right, so I'm going to start on this side. So you tell me your name, and then you tell us why you wanted to get baptized, okay?
My name is Eve, and I want to get baptized because I want to be with God more.
All right, what do you guys think of that? Is that a good answer? And what did you think about the class? Was there anything that really stood out to you?
Not really.
No? Any favorite parts?
Videos.
The videos, okay. All right, Z, as we already heard, Z already has been baptized. So, Z, why did you want to take the catechism class?
Because I wanted to learn more about Jesus and God.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Okay, what's your name?
Titus. I wanted to get baptized because I really wanted to be closer to God and feel his presence.
Fantastic answer. Thank you so much, Titus. All right. What's your name, young lady?
Shiloh.
And Shiloh, why did you want to get baptized?
Because I wanted to be more closer to Jesus and spend more time with him.
And what did you think about the catechism classes?
I don't know.
Was there lots of writing?
Yes, there was.
Was it a lot of work?
Yes.
Was it worth it? Hope so. I guess we'll find out. All right, and your name and why did you want to get baptized?
My name is Sophia, and I want to get baptized because whenever I see people getting baptized, I feel that I want to do that, and I want to be closer to God. And while attending my catechism classes, I felt my relationship with God growing. During these classes, I learned a lot of new things. One being how mighty God really is. Two being how much God truly cares for me. I feel that God is reaching his hand out for me to grab it and be part of his family. In conclusion, I am very excited to get baptized.
Wow, well done. I think we have ourselves a little writer here. All right, and how about you?
I'm Ava. I want to get baptized because I want to be in a bigger part of God's family. Plus, Jesus tells me this I know because the Bible tells me so.
Awesome. Well done. Well, you guys all busted your butts, and we are super excited to see you guys get baptized today. Now, what was the first thing that we did in class every week? Apostles' Creed. So you guys get to recite that now, okay? You guys ready? Okay, and you guys can do that along with us if you like as well.
All right, we have the Apostles' Creed up on the screen, so our kids are going to lead us today. They've got it memorized, but if you don't have it memorized, go ahead and read it along with us. All right, on the count of three, okay? 3, 2, 1.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Good job, guys. Good testimonies. That's super exciting. A few years ago, my son Judah got baptized, and when Jep asked him, "Why do you want to get baptized?" he said, "So that I can take communion." And then Jeb said, "Well, why do you want to take communion?" And he thought about it, and he goes, "Because it's yummy." And then I thought, I failed. So anyway, we're going to pass it off to Jeb now.
All right. These guys look ready to get baptized to you folks. I think they look very ready to me. Marcus and Shane have done an amazing job. These kids have worked hard, and now they know what they're stepping into the family of God. This is the day when you get adopted into God's family officially. This is the ceremony. Just like if you're getting married, there's a ceremony. You move into relationship, to covenant relationship. This is the day we move into covenant with God officially. So this is special. So we're going to say the vows together. So kids, they're going to be on the screen here. And folks, this is an opportunity for you as well to recommit yourself to the Lord. Remind yourself of the vows. Maybe you never even had vows when you were baptized. And opportunity today to just make that commitment in your heart to the Lord as we do it together with the kids for their first time. All right, you guys ready? All right. Do you believe in one God who has revealed himself as the Heavenly Father, as the glorious Son, and as the Holy Spirit? Good. Do you turn away from the world and its corruptions, the devil and his temptations, and your own selfish desires deep inside? Do you turn from those? Yes. Good. Do you turn to Jesus Christ as the only way to be saved from your sin by giving him the place of Lord over your life? Do you do that today? Yes. Getting their heads, their whole bodies are into it. This is good. Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit lead you and grow you in loving God through committing to prayer, worship, and reading his word? Good. Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit lead you and grow you in loving others above yourself? That's hard to do. Starting with your family, secondly in your church family, and thirdly in the world around you. Are you willing to do that? All right, awesome. Is that the last one? Awesome. You guys did it. Let's give these guys one last big hand here today. Well done today. Well, you guys, upon confessing your faith today, we're going to take you and baptize you now. So you can head over to the tank over there, and we're going to get ready to do that. Once they've been baptized, Bishop Todd is not with us today, so Stephen will be standing in his place today to confirm them and pray and invite the Holy Spirit to fill them today. And then they will come to the front row, and then they will join in communion today. And after communion, when the service closes, we're going to invite family and friends to come and pray for these kids. As parents and family and church, we've been pouring into these kids, supporting them. And this is our opportunity to come with the authority God has given you to speak blessing over them. And so we welcome you to join in that at the end as well. All right. We're going to take them and baptize them. I believe Jordan's going to lead us in some worship. Folks, we invite you to celebrate as these kids move into their place in the family of God today, to sing and worship and celebrate, and don't be afraid to cheer. All right?
And you split the sea. Cause you split the sea so wide.